Assalamu alaikum, this is Issa Martel. You are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. Today is Muharram the 20th, 1440 of the Hijri year, which corresponds to September 30th, 2018 of our modern calendar, Gregorian, if you want to call it Christian, whatever you choose to call that common error calendar. Whatever, it's basically the European Western calendar that has become used throughout the world as a common dating system. I was out for a couple days. I had pulled the muscles in my lower back trying to pick my kid up off the bed. He was sleeping toward the center of the bed, and I stepped up right up to the edge of it and just bent over at the waist and went to pick him up. And the bed is obviously lower than, you know, your back is. So when I went and tried to stand up with him, I pulled the muscles in my lower back, which caused me to be pretty much out of everything for the past couple days. That happened Thursday night. It's now Sunday night. From then until today, I didn't leave the house. I just rested and let my back heal. I couldn't really walk without pain when it first happened, and it was like basically my core muscles were affected. You can feel it when you have an injury like that. The side, your side muscles, and even down like your buttocks and your legs, you can feel, you know, what hurts when you move in this manner. But today I went out for a little bit. I drove. I had taken off of work the last couple days, and I finally went out today, drove, and it walked around a little bit. It seems like, naturally toward the end of the day, movement loosens up your muscles. So currently now I'm feeling pretty fine. I was stiff and stuff in the morning. And I was the past 2 days pretty much isolated to sitting around and just letting my back heal. So that pretty much sucked because I had plans to do a couple things this weekend, which obviously I didn't get done. But whatever, it is what it is. I advise everyone, if you're listening, to watch what you do and take care of your bodies, because little weird twists and turns can cause you to have some physical injuries and just damage yourself. Today I'm gonna pretty much talk about a passion of mine, which is historical martial arts. But let me just clarify something that was pointed out to me by my wife on my last, from my last podcast, is that I guess I said, I don't know what I said, but the correct term is epidural. I think she said I said epidermal, maybe. But, I did that off the top of my head, and it was like 1:30 in the morning as I'm driving. So hopefully, if you are a female and listen to these, you didn't just throw everything I said out the window because I botched a word after working 9.5 hours and driving home in the middle of the night. So, just a correction there, because I see that, that can, people would take that as a sign, not a sign, but as a reason to just throw everything someone says out the window, you know, with the context he can't even pronounce a word, or he don't know what he's talking about, or that's not even what it is, et cetera, et cetera. But hopefully you got the message of what I was talking about. And I do want to continue unpacking that stuff. But I'm going to just put that on hold for a minute and go into this topic, which also there's some issues here that I have with this whole historical martial arts scene, I guess you would call it, that's going on. I practice historical martial arts. I practiced some form of this in its infancy to now, pretty much since high school, I guess. And it wasn't as formulated as it is now, but my interest in this had begun back then. I currently practice Razmafzar, which is Persian martial arts, historical Persian martial arts. It was researched, and the manuals were translated and published by Muneshir Mustash Khorsani, who happens to be my teacher and a friend of mine. I am part of the Razmafzar staff. I've taught a couple of seminars going over this. I promote it. Pretty much everyone, if you're listening to this and you know me in real life, I would hope that you know that this is an aspect of my my personality and my interests. And if you don't, well, now you do, and I guess I've been doing a poor job of putting that out. So we do Persian stuff. It's swords, all forms of weapon, and unarmored combat, and wrestling. This was researched by, like I said, Dr. Khorsani. He's published many manuals, or not many manuals, many articles, translated a number of manuals, and pretty much published a book called Persian Archery and Swordsmanship, Historical Martial Arts of Iran, which is an incredible book. It's almost 400 pages. It deals with various topics. Pretty much it's everything researched out. And a couple manuscripts translated. Archery's in it, horseback is in it, swords, shields, maces, axes, spears or lances, wrestling, all this is in there. As well as a couple, like I said, a couple very fascinating manuscripts on archery, manuscripts on spear, manuscripts on swords, manuscripts on wrestling. The book is really dense, and it's very scholarly. So if you're just coming into this type of field or interest, it will take a lot of reading, and if you're not used to reading this type of writing, you may miss out on a lot of stuff, or just go back and continually to reread it, which is what I do as well. I got into this off a random, if you want to say, encounter. A couple of years ago, I came across a photo of Safavid armor, which ended up being Dr. Khorasani's armor. I had sent him an email regarding it. We began talking, and it basically what I was looking for in a combat system, especially with these types of weapons from this region. As you know, I am Muslim, and my interest in the Middle East has gone back years. I had always looked for some sort of manual or something that dealt with these weapons and translated how to use them and how to fight with them. And he's basically the only one that has done this. So once we talked a while, I was in, pretty much all in. And the knowledge I've gotten from that has been great and very detailed and deep in other ways. I look at this type of stuff, historical martial arts, more as an extension of my, I guess my, I don't want to say spiritual being, but that's, I don't really know a better way to say it. Like when you take, if you took karate or any sort of Eastern martial arts, there's like the philosophy and stuff behind it. I wish to incorporate these aspects further into my life. Unfortunately, sometimes it can be difficult to do. I should take that back. It's not unfortunate. It's not unfortunate. It's the reality. Speaking strictly from a religious point of view right now, God had chosen this time period for us to live. Me, you, like if you don't believe in God, say whatever you choose to view as the reason behind things, fate, coincidence, randomness, or whatever, had put us right now to live. So there has to be reason for that in itself. Perhaps as much as I would like to say that it would have been great to live hundreds of years ago when we were fighting like this in armor, fighting in the Crusades or whatever, maybe I would have sucked at that, you know? Maybe that wouldn't have been what was best for me. Clearly, obviously, it wouldn't have been because I didn't live back then. I'm living now. So I don't want to say that it's unfortunate that I'm living now or whatever, because I don't think that. I think there is reason and purpose behind us living right now. Excuse me. So, that being said, I had interest in the Middle East and everything like that throughout my life. Gradually, it moved toward that. I remember even back before I was Muslim, we played D&D in high school, and I remember the Arabian Adventures module that I found interesting also. Unfortunately, my friends didn't want to play that. we played in Forgotten Realms, our massive campaign, but I do remember I had an interest in that at that time. And just as I grew older and had the ability to actually look into this, it ultimately led me to being more interested in the region. And eventually I had found the religion and, you know, call it fate, coincidence, the path I was on, whatever you want to call it, I ultimately ended up converting to Islam, and here we are. I also think I managed to get sick over these past couple days, but so if I'm coughing or whatever, forgive me. Yeah, so I love swords. I love swords. I love armor. I love doing this. I wish that these principles that are common throughout all martial arts were lived upon and acted upon more by people in general, even practitioners of whatever martial art or code of conduct you proclaim to subscribe to. And I hold myself accountable to this too, within my own ideological beliefs, within my religion, and within the martial arts system I practice, there's a codified structure of moral character and behavior. And, you know, I attempt to live according to it. Ultimately, you know, sometimes I fail, sometimes I do well, as does everyone, because none of us are perfect. But I hope to live in such a way so that people can't attribute things negatively to whatever I'm doing. So, for example, if when I'm out on the streets, I don't want someone to be able to say, those Muslims, because of an action that they saw me do. You know, so I'll try to be on a better behavior in public, I guess. And I don't believe that's being a hypocrite. I just believe that's me reining in my personality and just trying to present the best possible way, especially living in the U.S. We are just bombarded by negativity unless you happen to subscribe to the common belief, which there seems to be basically two of. Either you're right-wing Christian or kind of like a liberal, anything-goes type of person, a spiritual person. Or you might be atheist or something like that, but I would tend to think that you're... I would perhaps wrongly so, put you in that same category. because certainly I wouldn't say you're part of the right-wing Christians. So with martial arts, I would choose to do the same and hope that nobody can say something negative about Razmusar based on my conduct at, say, an event or something like this. Because that's certainly not what I want to do. Or what I want to portray as. Now, the main thing that I have problems with in this general historical martial arts society, or not society, but scene, culture, is something that I have just the general problem with in general, and that is documentation, perhaps documentation versus first-hand experience. And this had come up a lot with me in the past. So about, I think it was in about 2001, I think it was May 2001, I went to Morocco for the first time. And I had spent, I think we were there for 2 weeks. We were in Germany also for a couple days. And during those 2 weeks, we had went around the whole country. We had rented a car. I went with my housemate at the time and another friend who has been there, going there every year for years, who happens to be Jewish. Not that that matters, but I'm just showing that I don't just roll with Muslims, and Jewish people are in Morocco too. In fact, we won't get into that, but if you ever go to Morocco, there was a massive Jewish population in Morocco that lived together with the Muslims in Morocco up until the State of Israel was created, when most of them moved there or migrated to New York. But so we had gone there, and when I'd learned a lot just from being there, and since we had a car, we were out in the country and saw some cool stuff. But when I came back, I was involved at the time heavily with the Society for Creative Anachronism, which is known as the SCA. And I was saying, look, this is what I saw. This is what they showed me. I watched someone weave this on a loom that's like 400 years old, right? So what you're doing, what I'm seeing you do, is not what I saw they do, right? So then they would be like, well, where's your documentation? So this is the issue I have, is how can, or is it right, I guess is a better phrase, for you to negate someone's firsthand experience and someone's account that can stretch back hundreds of years, that tradition they were doing, right, for years, right, because there's no documentation. Because you have one book or something that says something that is like the rules, you know what I mean? That's the only way. Like, the only way we know something is through documentation. And I find issues with this. In general, of course, yes, this is how we learn stuff, but you need to have practical knowledge as well of the subject or whatever it is that you're doing. So that kind of like began my problems that I had in this field, which eventually grew into what I do now, and dealing with historical martial arts and the culture of this. So now we have, fast forward, 17 years, during which time I had lived actually from 2006 until the end of 2009. I lived in Morocco, so that was 3 years. 3 years in Morocco I spent. Prior to that, I spent the summer in Saudi Arabia. So, and during the 3 years in Morocco, it wasn't like I was going back and forth to the U.S. I was there for 2 years before I came back to the U.S. for the first time. Then I went back to Morocco. I came here just like to check in what was going on. But I had been out for 2 years, right? Immersed in the culture of Morocco, right? Learned, hung out with the natives. I had an apartment in Marrakesh. I was an English tutor for a local family. Hung out with the locals all the time. All my friends were locals. I didn't have any expat friends. I got a job, a second job, as a guide, an adventure for a company that does a backpacking guide, adventure tourism. I did that, but still everyone I knew was local. I hung out, traveled probably through more of Morocco than most Moroccans. But yet now I have to still deal with people who just have book knowledge and I want to talk about subjects of a culture based off of some degree that they're holding, right? And the degree might not even be specific. If your degree is in like Berber or not even Berber, it would be Amazigh, if that's what your degree is in, it's like a specialized degree in that, okay, you can trump me, because I would imagine that if that's your degree, you had spent time in the mountains like I had, but because I don't have a degree and my experience and knowledge is firsthand, it's kind of like sidelined. And, it's kind of, it's just like arguments. It's just arguing, online, right? With people who are other laymen. They're not even scholars, right? They have no published anything. Nope. I don't have any published work either. Okay. So don't, I'm not a scholar, in a formal sense. But I will say that in a very specific field, I hold specific knowledge, and I'm not a scholar in that field, but I would hope that some things, I can just say, and the knowledge of what I do gives me authority in that, right? For example, my day job currently is that I drive. I'm a bus operator. Been doing it for 5 years, right? So I'm sure most people don't know anything about operating a bus. So if I was to speak on operating a bus, the people aren't going to be like, oh, yeah, but, in this manual it says this or whatever. There's not going to be argumentation unless it's from somebody else who happens to be a bus operator or works in transit or something. But yet, this same thing, right? We can flip it and be like, okay, I do this if I say this or whatever online, we're talking about now historical martial arts, it gets thrown out of proportion, or everyone chimes in, everyone throws in their two cents, everyone has an opinion. It's like a collective group think tank, which I think is an issue, right? It's an issue because the people running the narrative don't really have the knowledge. They may have book knowledge or what have you. You know, I mean, obviously that you can research something by studying it online. You can research something by books, watching documentaries, or these types of stuff. But if you're going to really, if you really want to know something, right, you need to have both the book parts and the application part, which can also be like the context, you know. And I don't see why this is such a struggle to get with people. I mean, it could be applied to anything, but we'll stick with this right here. You know, I don't understand why things are so difficult to put out or just to admit. It's like, you know, yes, there are many, I mean, you can say a sentence or a line or something and, you know, dissect that and peel back all these layers and all this stuff comes out of that. But there also could just be like, oh, you know what? Yeah, I never thought about that. Or, yeah, you're right. You know, I learned something new, right? But online and specifically on social media, you can never learn anything new, right? Nobody ever is like, I shouldn't say nobody, because yeah, there are people who do say I'd learn something new or just sit and watch and listen and do learn stuff. But it always has to be a I know more than you type of battle, especially within these groups of historical martial arts. And I feel this is because there isn't much to go off of, and the stuff that's been done, mainly, like, say, for example, like European longsword or something like this, has been going on for a couple of years now. So certain people hold shui in like authority, quote unquote, and it's just due to popularity on social media. There are no doubt masters in all these fields, whether it is what I do, Persian, European, German, Spanish, Italian, whatever, you'll find the actual masters of these arts. but a master is certainly, or I shouldn't say a master, someone who has an authority or proclaims to have an authority on a subject certainly does not have that authority if they have not produced anything in that authority. For example, while I myself have not written a book, right, you can clearly find videos of me, and it's well documented that I have experience in doing this, right? I mean, I have some capable knowledge that I've taught some classes in this. You know, I taught some other people how to do it. Excuse me. So right there, that shows a certain level, you know. But when you don't have anything and you have nothing to show and you're just sitting online typing, no, blah, 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 this, blah, 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 that, and you're talking about weapons that you have never actually, like, fought with or picked up, but you're trying to justify how they moved them or whatever based off of, you know, a HEMA class. You're trying to flip that into, well, this is how Middle Eastern stuff worked. No, it's not. It's not it's not how it worked. No, you're wrong. That's not it. It's completely different. The culture is different, right? The culture is different. Obviously, the warrior culture has similarities, you know, through running through all of history. But the actual culture, the reasons why weapons were used, the reasons why certain armor and this type of stuff is different. So I have problems with that when you try to say one thing and it doesn't fit, right? Another thing I have an issue with is not having the ability to speak in the language of the area or whatever it is that you're studying, and you're proclaiming to be an expert in that field. For example, Raz Mufsar is Persian. I personally do not speak Farsi, maybe a couple words, but Dr. Khorasani, that's his native language, right? So while he speaks multiple languages, his native language is Persian or Farsi. So his understanding of it when translating it into English, the book is in English, he understands it. It's like, okay, this is what it means. Someone not knowing the language, or even not being able to even, like, read it and use a dictionary, right? So, for example, I can read Arabic, right? I'm not fluent in Arabic, but I can read it, you know, I can speak it. I can use a dictionary with it. So I can read the Arabic script, and if I needed to understand something, I can look it up in the dictionary. If you can't even do that and are trying to work out of an Arabic manuscript, we have problems. We have problems right off the bat, because you're completely relying upon somebody else, right? And you may say, well, yeah, Issa, that's what you're doing with Farsi. But like I said, the person who I'm relying upon has multiple books published. One happens to be a lexicon. and, you know, the scholarly level is to such a degree that there might be mistakes here and there, but they're peer-reviewed, read by other people before they're published. And when it comes into weapons and stuff also, the head of our organization also has multiple black belts in various different martial arts. So that combined together allows me to be, okay, I can trust him enough to be like, all right, this is what that means, right? And technically, even in Farsi, I can read Farsi because I can read the script. So if I had to really like research something, I can research that out. I mean, it might not have the same, the full meaning of as if like a native speaker has, but I could at least be like, hey, why does this say this and you're translating this to be this or what have you? And get an explanation. Like I said, if you can't do that and you're relying on somebody else, then I feel this is a problem. Because if you're relying on a publisher to translate something, what are the qualifications of the publisher or the translator, right? Do they know martial art terminology, right? Do they know this, right? What other books have they published in this field, right? So they may say, well, yeah, in this time period, this was used in this manner or whatever, but how, based on what? I mean, based on what cross-referencing to some words we don't know, like common words of back then aren't common now. So we would have to have some explanation of what that word is. Typically, you might find this via other manuscripts or something that have the same word and cross context. You know, you can say, okay, here it's using this, at this point here it's using this, therefore it must allude to this. And maybe you might find it defined someplace else. But if you're not doing that, how do you even know what is being translated? And I despise this. I despise, I come across a lot with this, especially in Arabic. And you'll see, right, anyone who speaks Arabic will say, especially if you're in the U.S. and you happen to have learned Arabic, I mean, pretty much this is going to be regulated to convert Muslims who also are martial artists who are interested in this and have learned Arabic because a lot of the converts in America know martial arts and this is something that they're interested in. So they're going to say, where's the Arabic? Where's the Arabic? I want to see the Arabic, you know. Excuse me again. So when they, people who have studied the language, right, from whoever, and there's other people who now in our times, Arabic has become a more commonly learned language than, like when I was in high school, the languages were French, Spanish, German, and they had Latin, but it kind of like phased it out while I was in school. You know, Arabic wasn't a choice. Mandarin wasn't a choice, you know, which they have in our school district up here. So, you know, more people are learning it. And when you want to read a text and you want to say, where's the Arabic? Then you have this issue of, okay, I can read Arabic and this says this, but you have it translated as this based on the fact that I lived over there and I saw firsthand this, I understand this context, and it going to mean this, but you don't speak Arabic and had someone else translate it this way. There you're presented with a problem, right? If your answer to that problem is no, if your answer to that problem is anything but, oh yeah, that's a good, in the second edition we'll revise that, there's a problem, you know, so, which I feel this, that is the problem. People will not say, yeah, you know what, that is a thing. They'll just stick by whatever it is they know, whomever it is they had translate, they'll just stick by that and be like, okay, that's how it's going to be. You know, we are a publisher or whatever, blah, 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 X, blah, 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 that. Where's the publisher's credentials, you know? And if you are at this point and think I'm on a tangent, I kind of am, but I'm focusing specifically on the fact that there is a Egyptian manuscript that a group has raised money to translate. And while I love people in the group and I love the group itself, the person who is running this, I have issues with, and I feel that this has been a dubious thing that has been going on, and I feel it's done to artificially justify justify knowledge that they might not have, or he might not have, like artificially elevate themselves into this culture or this scene, which he wouldn't get into any other way, right? I have serious issues that you raised money to do this on like a GoFundMe or whatever, right? To get, what was it like? I think it was like 5,000 pounds, right? If you're going to be like anything, right? Freaking say, yeah, me personally, I would have saved up myself and published that myself. I would not have asked people to donate money to get this published as a group collective. Why? Why? You know, I feel that they're not going to get the credit, right? They're not going to get the credit for having this published. You know, it's going to be you, the person who put this together, who's going to get the credit. And in fact, like in it was a YouTube video that was put out, but it was written as well. the person had said that he has in his possession a manuscript, an Egyptian manuscript, right? And the reality is he doesn't have it in his possession. So if I told you this, yo, people, I have in my possession a 15th century manuscript, you know, of whatever, you would think the context of that sentence insinuates that I physically have in my possession a manuscript. But that's not the case here, right? He doesn't have in his possession this. What it is the manuscript is in a museum, and there's a PDF, there's a link to the PDF that's been scanned by the museum. So he doesn't have in his possession. So right there off that, I feel that it's kind of like disingenuous to the people who might be like, might not know that, and might be like, oh, wow, they have a manuscript? Yes, if you told me I have a manuscript in my possession, I'm trying to get it published, well, shoot, I might like be like, yeah, man, that'd be freaking awesome. Let me help you try to do that as best as I can, you know, but upon further investigation, when you don't have the manuscript and anybody can just download the PDF that's scanned by the museum and can read it if you can read Arabic, but the issue is that nobody knows, you know, the link isn't really publicized and this, that, and whatever. You know, that's a serious problem that I have. On top of it, They have...
I was 97 on Scandia Trail in Forest Lake appears to serve tacos and averages 4 stars.
Well, thanks, Siri. So Siri just chimed in. I guess I must have said something that she thought I was talking to her about tacos. Go figure. In any case, yeah, so I feel this is just wrong. And like I said, disingenuous. And then it's like they're going to release it for free, just like as a PDF download that anyone can download, which is fine. I mean, I guess that's what you want to do. But also I have in the back of my head a feeling that at some point this would get published into a physical book, at which point it'll get published in a physical book, at which point those people that helped contribute to getting this translated won't see any benefit from that, meaning monetary benefits such as royalties from the sales, and ultimately they're not going to get any credit for this. And from my point of view, they are equal to the person who put this GoFundMe together in anything, you know, because he didn't, in reality, he didn't translate anything. He didn't do anything other than coordinate, other than find someone to translate it and then ask people to pay for that. And we'll see how it, what it looks at, what it looks like when it's done. but you know, I've been skeptical of it, and I'm still skeptical of it, and I'm sure it's just going to cause debate and, you know, issues, and yet they're going to be seen as the authority, the artificial authority on this subject. So I'm just going to end it there. This is kind of going long. I didn't want to make a super long episodes, but, you know, around this time is fine for me. I got some other topics like I'd like to discuss as always, but they're just going to have to get put on hold until another time. So thanks for listening, everyone who does. I hope you find this interesting. If you're interested in anything swords, regarding swords or whatever, the two things I do, like I said, are Rasm of Tsar. You can just Google that on YouTube or Google, or if you follow me on Facebook, you can find me on Facebook or Twitter. Rasm of Tsar is spelled R-A-Z-M-A-F-S-A-R. So, I also do full contact armored combat, and I do that through the Armored Combat League, which you can find online as well, if you know me, or just Google Armored Combat League. You can find stuff through there. I'm not very active within the Society for Creative Anachronism anymore, but I do probably go to one or two events a year, see people that I know, and just to get some fighting time in, mainly with steel weapons now. Like I said, Rasm of Tsar is spelled R-A-Z-M-A-F-Z-A-R. You can type it in YouTube, Google, Facebook, Armored Combat League. I believe the website is aclknights.com. You can also type it in Facebook or Google. And that's about it. Have a good night. Thanks for listening. Peace be unto you.